Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down the eastern seaboard. I've got my diesel wound up and she's running like never before. There's a speed zone ahead, but all right, I don't see a cop inside. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got 10 Ford gears and a Georgie overdrive. I'm passing little white lines and my eyes are open wide. Just past a Jimmy and a white, I've been passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Well, hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live here Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731 to join the conversation. Just listen along. We're also on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody listening along or watching. Comment if you got anything else. If you want to be part of the show, just give us a call. Like I said, 515-602-9731. I want to give a special shout-out to one of our great sponsors. And that's Load to Ride Transportation. That's LTRtransportation.com. A great little trekking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. And they do it all, man. They got the expedited and hazmat and, you know, supply chain just, you know, keeping up with everything. So one of those carriers that looks out for the drivers, make sure they got plenty of work to do. So give them a holler over there. Like I said, LTRtransportation.com. We appreciate their support of Redneck and I's. And let's keep it going. So, we were just talking about a few things. I saw in the news that Walmart start paying their drivers $110,000 a year. That's just to start out. I don't even know if they'll give you a raise after that. I mean, shoot, you know, that's pretty much, I think, top pay nowadays. If you're a company driver, you can make about $100,000 a year. That's pretty much about right. You know, we'll talk about that a little bit. There's a couple articles that I wanted to read and everything. But first I wanted to check out something real quick I thought was really cool. And I'm a big follower of the Daily Wire that's over there. If you guys aren't familiar with that, that's, you know, the Ben Shapiro show, and they got the other people over there that do that stuff. And it's a more of a conservative, like talking points and everything. And they're always looking out for, I think they want to talk about things that regular people or regular news is not talking about. And there was an article here. It's by David Marcus. It was put out maybe sometime late last week. And I just flagged it. I wanted to talk about it on the radio show here because it's about Canada and what happened there. And the name of the article is just "The Truckers Won." And so it starts off. It says the trucks have left Parliament Hill. The sleepy Canadian capital of Ottawa is quiet once again. But for 3 weeks, something happened outside the seat of the national government, a movement that shook the benches of that austere body that led to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau revealing himself as an enemy of the basic democratic freedoms. It says over the weekend, Ottawa police, apparently acting under the directive of Trudeau's invocation of the Emergencies Act, swept through the crowd of protesters, injuring some and ending a demonstration that became a global symbol of those ready to abandon COVID restrictions and get life back to normal. It says truckers can claim victory at least two significant levels. First, the roughly 21 days that they set up camp there in Ottawa saw an enormous number of COVID measures relaxed. Ontario Premier Doug Ford, among others, ludicrously claimed the relaxation had nothing to do with the truckers, but if so, it's quite a coincidence. So the second and maybe more important victory the truckers gained was to expose Justin Trudeau, his party, and his sycophantic, or is that sycophantic? Is that what that word is? It's a state-run Canadian news media as authoritarians more than willing to lie in order to tighten their grip over the lives and minds of the people. Those lies included falsely painting the protesters as white supremacists. Let us not forget that at the beginning of this movement, Trudeau laughed it off as a small fringe group of racist yokels, a small fringe that soon had him invoking an Emergencies Act for the first time in history. And what did he accuse these truckers of, these men and women who had been our heroes not long ago? He accused them of holding unacceptable views. It says, by the end of last week, these peaceful protesters with the unacceptable views would be smeared not only by Trudeau and his disdainful cabinet, but by Ottawa police, who tweeted out allegations that they were engaged in assault of behavior. Amazingly, in this day and age, and there's no video evidence of this supported assaulted behavior, that there is video of his mounted police trampling Canadian citizens protesting for their God-given rights. And it isn't just horses' hooves that these concerned citizens had to fear. The police have their hands in these people's bank accounts too, promising financial retribution for the demonstrators. Says this is the true crux of Trudeau's dastardly and ludicrous emergency powers. Powers he laughably promised are temporary. For all intents and purposes, he and his lackeys have installed a social credit system, a form of manipulation that China would admire. You want to criticize the government? Go ahead, but don't be surprised if your bank account is frozen. Oh, and not just if you physically protested, but also if you took the dangerous and now illegal step of sending the protesters a few bucks for food or fuel. So the problem for Trudeau, adage, is that the whole world is watching, and unlike Canadian news media, most of the world doesn't work for him. Even American progressives who crave COVID restrictions are a bit of shocked and they were shocked by the actions by the little dictator with the expensive blowout. In Canada itself, most conservative politicians, to the extent such people exist by American standards, started off very critical of the Freedom Convoy. That was disappointing, but when Trudeau went nuclear with the Emergencies Act, the conservatives under new, hopefully more aggressive leadership pounced, embarrassing and floundering Trudeau in Parliament with withering speeches about his egregious overreach. In the end, this band of truck drivers in Ottawa, who never amounted to much, more than a few hundred souls, notwithstanding the thousands who would join them for the weekend dance parties, sent a horn blast heard through the world. And the world is listening as almost everywhere COVID restrictions fall away, promising finally maybe or the ability to move on from the pandemic. The article continues on. It keeps talking about, you know, all the just the things that happened. You know, we all remember it wasn't that long ago that the COVID restrictions just fell. I mean, every major city in America, every country just started lifting it. And it basically didn't start until this Canadian protest started. It says here, but for Justin Trudeau and his cheerleaders, who seem to wish they ruled in the system like China's rather than the free democracy, this episode ripped open a false facade of their so-called liberalism, revealing the authoritarian monster at their core. Make no mistake, the truckers won. They may pay dearly, as some have the hands of aggressive police and others have, but will through outrageous financial penalties. But they went head-to-head with their government and made their government look like fools. And for that, every lover of freedom should be grateful. And that's from the Daily Wire, David Marcus over there. And I just thought it was really interesting how he just basically breaks it all down, that, you know, because of them and how the government reacted really was the main thing. The government reacted so harshly when they started freezing bank accounts, and basically they were lying. I mean, we saw that. You know, they were calling them white supremacists or racist, and I'm like, you know what? Just show me a video. I'll believe you. Just show me a video. Show me a picture. And they only had one, and the picture was of a person that was completely concealed. You couldn't even see the person. They were wearing masks and gloves and wraps, and I mean, it was like they were going out of their way to make sure that you didn't see this person's identity at all. Nothing. And it was one person standing by themselves, not in a crowd of people or anything like that. You couldn't even know. You didn't even know if they were actually standing, you know, in the same area that they were protesting. So that was the only one I saw. You know, if anybody else has anything, you know, show me. I'd love to see it. But that's what it was. There's no evidence. Of course, we did see horses trample the protesters. We had people getting arrested for bringing empty gas cans. You know, one guy had gas cans sitting on his catwalk, and the cops walked over and just took them. And they said we're not going to let him have it. So that kind of deal. I just thought that was really interesting that those they wrote an article about this, talking about it, and we're going to try to share the hell out of it because, you know, hey, it's always a great message to let people know that the truckers did the right thing and they won because of it. So that kind of stuff is what I really like seeing that. But that's what we're talking about over here, you know, talking about everything. I got another article I found where they were talking about the truck drivers at Walmart going to start getting paid more money. And then in trucking, of course, earlier this week, Joe Biden had a little event outside of his of the White House talking about how great trucking is. So he had a little article in the Business Insider. I think that was Yahoo that did that. I mean, there's some pretty good mainstream articles that got for trucking news. I mean, you got CNBC. They say that they're talking about the Walmart paying the drivers. Of course, NBC, that's pretty much the big thing. And then over here in FreightWaves, it says Utah trucking company shutters livestock division after 37 years. And then let's see. Oh, we got some funny stuff here about SNL talking about truck driving song, so might check that out and see what that looks like. But over here, we're just talking about stuff. Like I said, you can call in at 515-602-9731, Redneck and I's Radio, and we're just going to keep it like along here. So we'll be back in a second.
Hey, pretty baby, don't you know it ain't my fault? Love to hear the steel bell thumping on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop, stumble in a restaurant, wonder why I don't stop. Well, I gotta keep rocking while I still can. Got a two-pack habit and a motel tan. When my boots hit the boards, I'm a brand new man. With my back to the horizon, make my stand. Hey, pretty baby, won't you hold me tight? I'm loading up and rolling out of here tonight. One of these days I'm gonna settle down and I'll take you back with me to the guitar tab.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particular filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced. And DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
My home, baby, till the red spooky for my feet.
All right, everybody. Hey, what's going on? Hey, this is it with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live Sunday evenings, 7 o'clock Eastern time. You can call in at 515-602-9731 and be part of the conversation. Just hit one there. You can listen along, you know, however you want to do it. Also on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, we appreciate everybody watching along there. And we also just take time to, you know, try to talk about what's going on in the industry and all that kind of good stuff, and maybe even talk about some news or just life on the road, just how people take care of things. We'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can download the app from your app store there, and if you want to book freight, track freight, or if you want to just get truck stops, fuel stops, parking, Walmarts, whatever you need, you can get there on the Trucker Tools app. We appreciate all their support for that. So go download them and check it out and let them know what you think. They're always looking to make improvements and adding features and all that too. So we appreciate all their support. And if you ever message them or email them, just let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. So we were talking about earlier, a couple of us between each other. And of course it made the news. It was a big deal. It made CNBC, it made, NBC News and all that like that. And of course, you know, even the smaller websites or, you know, different markets and all that, this is from agweb.com, which is, it says it's just a farm journal, and they've got a deal. They've got an article they made, and it's like a U.S. farm report. I don't know. Let's see what this video says here.
Brian Johnson's conservation efforts focus on resiliency and soil health.
That's an ad.
Conservation
right there.
Is what we've been doing here for 30
years. And it says, bop, 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 bop. It's talking about an ad. I tell you what, everybody's got ads. I guess we got to love ads. That's how we do business around here. So you never know.
Come back to U.S. Farm Report. Trusted, timely, tradition.
Big production.
Well, transportation troubles are at the driver's seat right now. From water to roads, labor issues continue to produce problems as we navigate those in this week's Farm Journal report.
Trucks, I love them.
In the late 1970s, trucking gained interest thanks to the big screen.
There you go.
But today, it's a job that doesn't boast the glamour it once did.
We don't have a ton of young people or other people that are just dying to get into the trucking industry. It's no longer a glamorous gig that people really want to get into anymore. So we are going to continue to see shortages.
Supply chain issues as a lack of drivers plagues the trucking industry.
We're currently about 80,000 drivers short in the trucking industry.
That's
in
common.
10 years, they're thinking it's closer to 250,000 to 300,000 jobs that we're going to be short in the trucking industry.
Kelly Crapu is a safety director and compliance manager for True North Compliance Services. She navigates the regulations that have a tight grip on truckers today.
I think that we're losing not only to those short haul careers, but other careers that they can be in a more controlled environment and a little bit safer and, again, have more conducive to a family life.
In late January, both the U.S. and Canada put in a vaccine mandate, which requires truckers crossing the border to be vaccinated.
We've seen that the vaccine mandate, coupled with the protest that's going on in Canada, is also has affected cars coming out of Canada for now. You will be seeing it in the ag industry in the coming weeks when we're trying to get fertilizer out of Canada.
And just a week later, a new CDL requirement hit the trucking industry.
This particular regulation went into effect in 2018. It was passed final rule, final register is what it's called, in 2018 to go into effect, full effect in 2020. The FMCSA did decide that not all of the parts were ready to go, so they gave us an extension to 2020, and then that extension went even further into 2022.
Without either the Biden administration and the Trump administration stepping in to halt the new regulations, it could now cost those looking to get a CDL or upgrade to a Class A license in both time and money.
If you need a Class A and all of the endorsements that would go with it, that's when you're going to talk about your 21 days and your larger amounts of money, $8,500 to $10,000.
Crapu says agriculture is exempt as long as the driver stays within the 150-mile radius air bubble. But if you travel outside that zone, the new regulations
could be stifling. If you were to go outside that 150 air miles to take, let's say, your corn to a grain elevator that's outside the 150, all of the federal regulations would apply to you, and that would include the commercial driver's license requirement.
The new CDL requirements could be yet another barrier for attracting new and younger truck drivers. As Crapu says, some truck drivers are finding better-paying jobs that allow work-life balance.
We're losing drivers, too, to not even truck driving jobs that are local. They can go work in a warehouse, an Amazon warehouse, pulling packages for the same amount of money and very little risk.
As the dire dilemma of truck driver shortages rolls on, Mike Steenhook of the Soy Transportation Council says there's one main issue in the driver's seat.
We're really seeing this problem in each of the links of our supply chain, and I would argue the biggest culprit is a shortage of labor.
And as renewed interest in U.S. soybeans flows from trouble with South America's crop, it's something Steenhook is watching closely.
It's great that we've got demand, strong demand for what farmers grow, but if we don't have a transportation system that can accommodate it, then we're not going to be profitable, and the inland waterway system is a very consequential part of that supply chain.
It's more than a lack of truckers causing concern.
It's one thing to have a truck. You have to have a truck driver. It's one thing to have a barge flotilla. You have to have someone that can actually work those tows. And so that's the real concern that we have.
Steenhook says containers piled up at ports is also pinching soybean exports in some areas.
We see those images of all these container vessels lined up outside of the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. Having the ability to access some of those empty steel boxes, those containers, to be able to, they come in with consumer goods and then they get emptied and then they get loaded with agricultural products for the backhaul movement to Asia. That has become very challenging, and that's going to unfortunately remain so probably throughout the course of 2022.
The largest shipping company in the world recently said they expect things to ease the second half of the year as freight rates on the busiest shipping routes remain up to 10 times higher than what shippers saw in 2019. But as backlogs mount, Steenhook says container constraints are at the forefront for the foreseeable future.
Unfortunately, it really is still kind of at its apex. Now, we're seeing some numbers that it might be moderating throughout the course of this year. And you would assume with inflation being what it is, that will have some degree of impact on consumer spending that might mitigate some of the amount of freight that's coming in and helping create this logjam. But unfortunately, this is something that is going to be with us for a number of months.
As agriculture continues to navigate shipping issues, Steenhook says the recent infrastructure package passed by Congress is a win.
What did happen is some of these projects did move to the batter's box. There actually is funding that has been deployed for some of these infrastructure projects, including one particularly on the Upper Mississippi River, a lock and dam project, Lock and Dam 25.
A dam that will now see a longer chamber, allowing for barge traffic to move efficiently and reliably.
It's a savings of time, so going through a longer lock chamber will take you 45 minutes, maybe even 30 minutes instead of 2+ hours. So there's a time savings.
In addition to the funding from the infrastructure bill, Steenhook says dredging has become a dire need and something that continues to take place along vital shipping veins.
Ironically, it was through the flood emergency legislation that was passed in 2019, but then did provide some funding for dredging activity that continued into 2021.
As river levels remain extremely low, dredging has helped barges continue to flow.
It allowed dredging activity to occur on the inland waterway system so that when we had low water levels, we were able to still have barge transportation basically continue unimpeded.
From investing in inland waterway system to renewed funding to repair rural bridges, injecting funds into infrastructure could help at a time where supply chain chaos continues.
Now, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack did talk about infrastructure in his Ag Outlook Forum address this week, and he says infrastructure is another bright spot for agriculture. All right, when we come back, we'll continue our discussion from the Northern Corn and Soybean Expo. Again, that discussion happened before the issues in Ukraine, but there's still a lot to cover when we come back.
So, yeah, they kept getting into the weeds there with all the shipping. They were talking about the ships and all that. And I was wondering, I was like, how come truck driving, there's talking about wages and truck driver shortage and all that. And, we all know the reason why there's a shortage because the drivers aren't getting paid enough, especially to go over the road. In fact, one of the comments on this page here, it's talking about that. It's like OTR, driver wages is nowhere near kept up with the cost of living in the last 30 years. The mega carriers have had the truck drivers are everywhere mentality that's treated them that way. It says they promise big wages and then they've lied to about bonuses, you know, and all that. So, I mean, we know that that's probably what it is. So, I mean, is there other areas like other jobs that they're getting paid less than what they should? And it's causing a shortage, or are they, you know, I don't know. Some of them those shipping containers, I don't know, they might be running unions or whatever, but I mean, they're based out of foreign countries or whatever. They're not necessarily based out of the United States. So there might be some kind of other government issues coming out of those areas. But as the OTR truck drivers, we all know, they keep talking about shortage. And it has nothing to do with, you know, it has everything to do with just them paying the money. It's so funny to me that most drivers that get paid really well are the drivers that are home on the weekends or the drivers that are home every day. Those drivers get paid really well. And it's because you need to be, and we said this before on the Redneck and I's, is that, you know, it's the drivers have to be more reliable. And that's why they're paid more, because you know, they're like, we're trusting you to be more reliable. We're compensating you to be more reliable. The industry has taken the newer drivers and stuck them out over the road because that's the less place to be. That's where drivers don't want to be. If you had a choice to be able to do a job, you want to be able to get in a truck, do your short little hauls and then go home. That's what you'd rather be doing. But over the road is not necessarily the more preferable job. So the newer drivers get stuck doing that. And of course they're paid the less. And now next thing you know, the wages are dropped. Or the rates have gone down because the bigger carriers are trying to book that freight for the cheap amount so they can get it secured. Because one of those things where the shipper, the person that's paying the wage, they're paying the rates. They're saying, hey, I just need to get it done. I as cheap as possible, whatever it is. And of course, the mega carriers, they can lowball it because they're just trying to move their trucks. And you know, they might call a guy up and he says, hey, you move some freight. And they'll probably send him a quote, $5 a mile, and they'll say, no problem. And then next thing you know, they'll call somebody else up, and they say, hey, I want you to haul my freight, but I can only pay you two. Well, if it's going back to get them that $5, you know, we know this as owner-operators. We've talked about it before. You know, if you have to take a low rate just so you can get back to the wherever you're going to get that top rate, you know, you might even consider that. And a lot of truck drivers don't consider that. They you know, what is it? The rule is if you're an owner operator, especially if you're independent, every haul is a head law. You know, there is no such thing as a back haul because you got to make that money. You got to get the money. And a lot of these carriers, they just created this term back haul where it gets you and you take less to get back because you're going to make that money going out. Well, you know, just because, you know, that, so the shippers, their goal is to create every haul they have as a backhaul. You know, if you're in Dallas and you're trying to haul a load going to Chicago, you want the guy that lives in Chicago to haul your load because he's going to take it cheaper. But if you're in Chicago trying to get a load to Dallas, you're trying to book that load out of the guy that lives in Dallas because he'll do it cheaper because he's trying to get back to Dallas. So as a shipper, you know, somebody that's trying to pay somebody, that's your goal. Let's try to find that, you know, so. I just, to me, that's funny. Why would anybody take the, you know, backhaul rate when it's always going to be the head, it's the head haul. It's the one that's going to make you the most money. You got to try to get the most, you know, and a lot of drivers, they agree with that. And a lot of them do that. They always, you know, it's kind of like, they always want to work with the shipper to say, you know, hey, I'll take care of it for you, but you need to take care of me. And a lot of times, these shippers, you know, they just don't care. They just want it done cheap. And when the over the road guys can, you know, they can do it for less. Getting these over the road guys, especially the ones where, you know, they're in California, but they live in Virginia, or they're in Florida but they live in Minnesota. You know, those are the ones these big carriers are trying to push out there and keep out there, and keep it still. But that was just one of the articles, and they're talking about it. They're talking about the cost that the new CDL requirement, which is that you got to have training now. If you want to get your CDL and you've never you know, you've never had a CDL before. Now you got to go to the training. Now you got to go through doing all that where you go and you get the schooling done. And that's what they're talking about on that. Let's see here. As far as that goes, I mean, you're going to, I mean, they've even had it where they've got the 18 and under guys. I don't need that. But they got the 18 and under guys, and they requiring them to have, you know, certain things where they can have what do you call it? What is that called? All of the lane departure warning systems in the trucks, got to have ELDs. If you're under the age of 21 and you want to get a CDL to go over the road, then you got to have ELDs regardless. No fussing about it and all that. Regular guys, you got to go to school and you got to have required training to get done. And that's costing a lot of money. And the trucking schools, they're taking advantage of it because they're trying to raise the price on it. You know, it's amazing. You know, we talked about that before with regular college students. You know, hey, the government's going to pay your bills. Well, guess what the colleges do? They just raise the price of it because, hey, the government's guaranteeing the loan, you know, so might as well go ahead and raise the price and get more tenured teachers. Looks like they're trying to turn the trucking schools into that kind of stuff too, where you got to have the school. So, you know, you need to pay up because you got to have it. You can't get your CDL without going to school. So that's what it's becoming now. It's where you got to go to school. And that's they call it, you know, training requirements where it's at least 21 days and so many hours, all that stuff. So that's what they're saying here. As we continue on down there, I mean, it says, CNBC also had an article talking about the Walmart pay. It says Walmart says it's raising truckers' pay and starting a training program as it grapples with the driver shortage. And it looks like they're starting their own training program where they're dealing with this new law. It says Walmart said Thursday it's raising pay for long-haul truck drivers and launching a new program to train the next generation as it seeks in staffing. It relies on a replenished store shelves and warehouse across the country. Says the retailer said truck drivers will now make between $95,000 to $110,000 in their first year with Walmart. The company did not provide the current salary range for the new truck driver at Walmart, but said that they have made an average of $87,500 in their first year. Says Walmart also started a 12-week training program in Sanger, Texas, and in Dover, Delaware, where people can earn a commercial driver's license and join Walmart's fleet. It will cover the cost of earning a license, which can run between $4,000 to $5,000, said company spokesman Ann Hatfield. It says the program will initially be open to only supply chain associates who are near the two training locations, Hatfield said. In the future, she said, all Walmart employees will be able to apply for the program. She said that the company hopes to train between 400 to 800 new drivers this year. Says Walmart, the country's largest private employer with 1.6 million workers, is ramping up recruiting efforts for truck drivers as the growth of e-commerce changes its business and it complicates complicates supply chain. It says also it's a tight market for trucking labor. It says the shortage of truck drivers, here they go again with all the stats. Here it goes, the shortage of truck drivers in the U.S. hit an all-time high for more than 80,000 workers last year, according to the American Trucking Association trade group. Says the lack of workers has stemmed from several factors, according to the trade group, including the grueling hours of long-haul trips, the older average current age of the current drivers, and the small number of women in inquiries. Says the COVID pandemic exacerbated the shortage. It says some truck drivers left the industry with fewer people than went through the training program. Let's see here. Trying to make sure Facebook's working right. Sometimes they try to block it when I play music. They say, oh, no, you can't do that. I was like, you know what? Stop it. Just stop it. Quit trying to. And it's like an automatic thing. You know, it's crazy. Let's see. But, yeah, nothing on this end. Looks like it. Nothing is prohibiting anything from actually working. I got a bunch of stuff on here, though, pretty much. But anyway, we're also on YouTube Live, so get that on there. But we can, and the video is recording. It's not like it's not recording, so everything looks good on that. But anyway, that's what we were talking about. We're talking about Walmart, and so in my experience with Walmart, I used to, as an owner operator, I hauled a lot of their freight and talked to a lot of their drivers and talked to a lot of drivers that used to work there. That Walmart even has contractors. They have like companies. I mean, it's even like Landstar or even other companies that have their own company drivers will go in and haul Walmart trailers. People that live in the Central Texas area see Swift has where they haul a lot of Walmart's freight. And a lot of times it's at a different warehouses. They have grocery warehouse and they have a like their what do they call them? You know, the regular retail warehouses. So you have the big Walmart warehouse, like distribution center, that's for retail. And it, not too far away from there is probably going to be some kind of grocery warehouse that pretty much is all old school. It's funny to me that they still go like old school where they have lumpers because it's groceries. And it's like, well, you got to have lumpers. I always find that funny that, so why can't Walmart change the way they do things? Why can't that be changed by Walmart? But it can't. They go there. And then when we're talking about Walmart, Sanger, Texas, hiring, you know, creating a school so that people in that area can get a light driver's license, you know, a CDL. Now, you're talking about Sanger. That's probably, what, about an hour and a half north of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They can probably do something with a lot of those people that live in that Dallas-Fort Worth area. That's in that Sanger. Oh, no, it's not that far away. It's just north of Denton. So I'm thinking more north, but it's only like maybe an hour north of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And you're talking about a huge distribution center. Well, when you try to associate warehouses with Walmart, they also have a grocery warehouse in Cleburne, Texas, which is south of Fort Worth. And that is run, it was at Swift at one time. It may be CR England. It might be Swift now. But it was run by that company, and all the trucks, all the trailers that got, the Walmart trailers that got pulled out of there were pulled by the carrier that was contracted to pull them. But it's a grocery warehouse, and everybody that's hauling freight inside there, they're refrigerated or something other to that effect. And they're all like, you know, it's all, like I said, lumpers and everything like that. And I just don't understand. So is that freight going to also be included with the training of the new drivers, or are they going to start having Walmart drivers do that themselves, or are they still going to contract it out? Still got contractors. Walmart, what Walmart does is Walmart hires drivers. They always have more freight than they have drivers. They want to keep the driver pool light. And they're hiring drivers. They're growing because they're expanding, you know, like they always do. We see new Walmarts go up all the time, right? Or they get expanded. They get made bigger where they're taking in more freight. But when it gets busy and it's a busy time of year, like maybe during the holidays or whatever like that, they never have enough drivers to handle all that. There's never drivers that get sent home and said, there's nothing for you to do. They always have something for those drivers that they hired for them to do something. And then what happens is when they have extra, well, what they do is they send that on different, they got Walmart trailers, but it's different companies, different carriers pulling the freight. So I don't know what that's going to affect, you know, but them increasing pay and all that, because I always thought that Walmart always paid pretty good, you know, even their contractors when they contracted to load. So I'm not sure how that's going to increase everything or change things, especially when they start saying they're creating a training program. Because, I mean, that's just going to change things, make things different. So I don't know how that's going to be. So we'll see what happens on that from this announcement. Did about the pay bump and training program Thursday morning on its corporate website. It's about 12,000 truck drivers. It has about 12,000 truck drivers in its workforce. The company hired 4,500 truck drivers in 2021, a larger number than any time in history, the spokeswoman said. It says, for Walmart and other retailers, soaring online sales have shaken up the cadence of business and prompted a race to deliver packages quickly and keep items in stock at stores. I know what they do also, if people out there know about Walmart and how Walmart does things, they're trying to compete with Amazon. So what they're doing is they're creating an essential system to where when you can order from the app, from the Walmart app, and they'll either ship it straight to you from wherever they have it stored, or they promise to deliver it that day, like the day of, like within an hour or whatever, from the store. As long as it's at the store, they've got people to deliver it, and whoever they call, whether it be contracted through some other ride-sharing thing or something, or it's just Walmart people in general. You know, you might see them down the line where Walmart has actual, like, little cars or SUVs that they're going to send their employees out making deliveries. You know, they'll tell you that. I mean, you pull up the app and you want something. If it's at the store, you know, they can the app will tell you, pick it up within an hour. You know, we'll have it here and come pick it up. Or, you know, we'll bring it to you for a fee or whatever. And so they did that where it's like a Walmart Prime or some kind of like a Walmart Prime deal, like Amazon Prime, where you get free delivery, you know, for the years, and you pay a certain fee for the year. So we'll see what happens with that. But it all depends on the truckers, you know, whether they can get the freight to the stores or not. And frankly, if they're, you know, if they're the ones paying and they say what's going to compare to the driver shortage, I don't think Walmart's pay is the issue. I think Walmart is very strict when it comes to their drivers, as far as like appearance and conduct. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things that Walmart faces when they try to, you know, take care of their supply chain with hiring truck drivers. I don't think it has anything to do with pay. There's a lot of drivers that want to go work for Walmart. It's whether or not Walmart will accept them. And you're thinking, well, what else were they looking for? Well, they're looking for people that will wear a uniform, because Walmart has uniforms. And it's not that easy. It's all it is shirts, you know, with blue jeans, you know, and all that stuff. But they want that. They want people that wear uniform shirts properly, you know, keep them washed, keep them clean, that kind of stuff. And you think, how hard is that? It's a lot of people think to most people, it's pretty hard to keep clean shirts, you know, with them at all times. I've seen them. I've been in those warehouses before with those guys. They have, you know, they have their shirts on hangers, you know, coming from the cleaners or whatever like that. And then the contractors that they hire to come in there and haul, you know, they're wearing dirty T-shirts with the pocket torn off, or, you know, holes in their jeans, or, you know, or even sometimes they come in with their sweatpants or whatever. And it's like, Walmart's not going to hire you if you want to dress like that and drive truck. Walmart's not going to hire you. So don't even think about applying. But also too, it has nothing to do with, I mean, if you wanted to change those standards, you're going to have history standards, work history standards, driving history standards. You know, if you've broken the law different times, you know, like in Canada, you can't get a CDL if you've ever had a DWI, you know. And then most companies here won't hire it if it's in the last 5 or 10 years. They won't touch you. So that kind of thing is going to make a big difference in hiring drivers. The pay is not an issue. To me, pay is, for Walmart, pay is not the issue. There's a lot of companies out there that pay really well, and they still can't find drivers because they're looking for that type of driver. You want to make $100,000 a year, then you better act and dress like you make $100,000 a year. So, and I think that's probably one of the biggest standards. I don't know. To me, that's one of the things that that trucking probably has the biggest issue with, is just, you know, being presentable, and then, you know, getting hired by these companies. And like I said, it's about the history. You know, if you ever a person that's willing to be a truck driver and be over the road, we've talked about this before, a person that's ever been a truck driver and willing to be over the road, they've probably had checkered pass, and a lot of these companies, they won't hire him. It's like, well, we can't find good drivers. No, he's a good driver. You just don't like him because maybe he, you know, got into a bar fight, you know, maybe 8 years ago, or got a DWI 12 years ago. And you don't, you know, or maybe he's had 6 jobs in the last 5 years. You know, you don't want to touch him. And it's like, you're going to give him a shot or not. You know, sometimes people, they're just trying to make things better for themselves. And, you know, all they need is that one good shot, that one chance. And some of them need more than one. Sometimes all it takes is one. And then they're set for life. They'll never have a problem with that again. So you never know what happens with that. And that was from CNBC, that article. A lot of them made a deal on there. So that was interesting. Yahoo Finance also made an article about offering the big salary for Walmart, changed its salary and everything they posted in there. So, you know, everybody's out there. We can go search it up and talk it up and see how it is. So, let's see here. Getting back down here where we were. There we go. All right, awesome. So, yeah, like I said, give us a holler here at 515-602-9731. We're talking about everything under the sun. And might have to get off of Facebook and then restart Facebook and see if we can get back going again. Let's see. There we go. And we'll see what happens to that. We're going to take a quick break and try to get that set up there and see how everything is going on there. Let's get back on here with... Hiya, there you go. All right, so yeah, check us out. Make sure you go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. Like I said, call us in, 515-602-9731. We're going to see if we can get back on Facebook Live here and shake things up a bit. But want to send a great shout-out to one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. You know, we got all these particulate filters and all these different parts on these trucks, and DPF Regeneration, they know it. They know the stuff. They know how to take care of it, and they clean them. And it's pretty awesome, the stuff they do over there. And, of course, they're just a big supporter of Redneck and I, as we can't be more too thrilled, or we are just so thrilled to have them with us. And it's been with us for a while, so we're excited. So, yeah, check them out, dpfregeneration.com. Like I said, hang out a second. We'll be right back. This is Redneck and I's Radio.
Messages like these are possible thanks to generous contributions from Load to Ride Transportation. Please check them out at www.onestopfreightways.com. That's Load to Ride Transportation. They are transportation. Thank you, LTR, for supporting Redneck and I's. Redneck and I's, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Rumors spreading round in that Texas town about the shack outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that cool mountain on the range. They got a lot of nice girls. You got the time.
All right, here we go. We're back now. We're back on Facebook Live, and of course we're on YouTube Live as well. And you can call in at 515-602-9731. We're just here talking about Walmart raising this pay. They're going to start paying their new drivers almost $110,000 a year for new drivers. But the biggest thing, I think, is what happened is they're starting a training program. They're going to start training new drivers to get their CDLs. That right there, I think, is the biggest issue, because what happens is there's a new law out now where if you want a CDL, you just can't go get a truck. Let's say that you got taught how to drive by family members, or, you know, you just learned through the years or whatever. Even in the military, you get taught how to drive a truck. And that's how I did it. I learned how to drive in the military. And even when I got out of the military and I was ready to go drive, I didn't have a truck to go take a test, first off. And I didn't really understand anything about logbooks or any kind of regulations about hazmat or nothing like that. You don't get shown that stuff when you're in the military. It's like, drive it, keep it on the road, and you're exempt from everything else because you're U.S. military. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about logbook and nothing like that. So basically, going to truck driving school, I learned a lot about the regulations. I learned about truck routes, all that stuff like that. I learned about logging and everything. And then when I went to go work for my carrier, I went to the bigger carrier, and I learned from a trainer. And the trainer just taught me how to live on the road, and basically how to utilize the rules to the best of your ability to benefit from them the best you can, you know. And it's one of those things where, you know, you learn how to manage your routes based off of like the truck route or restrictions that you might have on that. So those kind of things is what you learn in those aspects. But let's say that you went to somewhere like the military or family member. Most people, it's all trucking is in the family. And let's say you're trucking in the family. And of course, yeah, it might be that you might be exempt because you're a farm working in within 150 miles of where your farm is or like that. But a lot of times it's just trucking and you just learn. You learn through the family. You learn through you're doing it day in, day out with the family members or relatives of what do you call, you know, friends of relatives and just being part of the industry. And you want to get a CDL. Well, you still got to go to school. You got to take those classes, and that's what they're requiring now. And I don't know if that might, you know, that might restrict people from getting their CDL. And you know what, maybe that's good. Maybe that's bad. I don't know. But what we know, what we think, our opinion, is that nothing is going to benefit the industry if the schools don't teach the stuff right. If when you go to those trainings and you get the required knowledge that you need is like the minimum, the basic minimum. And it's like, wow, no. I mean, you need to know more than that. And that's what we've always the reason why we wanted training requirements as truck drivers, we wanted training because there's not enough. And now it's like there's requirements, but it's still the minimum. And it's like, nah, that's still not enough, you know. So I don't know how that's going to be, but that's Walmart seems to be taking up the reins where they're going to start doing that. And I just thought that was interesting that they're doing all that, where they're going to start a school is pretty much what they're going to be doing. So that's weird. But yeah, so first, before we go any further, we want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's LTR, Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. They're one of the great supporters of Neck and Eyes, great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. If you guys want to have a trucking company that supports you, keeps you moving, plenty of work, you know, it seems like their drivers are always busy. And it's one of those things where what I've learned talking to a lot of their drivers is not only do they have the freight that they have, like they went to customers and said, we'll haul your freight. And the customer's like, yeah, haul our freight, please. And then what happens is let's say you get to an area where that you don't have, that customer doesn't have a facility in your area where you can get freight. LTR, they go and find freight, and they'll find it any way they can, whether it's through some other kind of load board or broker or whatever. And the drivers, you know, you learn that, you know, sometimes you got to talk to different people in order to get that freight handled. So to me, it's like the knowledge of an LTR driver is way better than any other carrier that's either the same size or bigger. your knowledge of being a truck driver. If you wanted, if you had a dream of going on with an owner operator or independent, you know, getting through LTR is probably a good training, is good to practice, because you're talking not only to the customers that you would do every day, but different ones that you might not have to talk to every day or need to talk to every day. Your skills go out to like other people, the other brokerages or load boards or whatever that you might have to talk to. And that's cool. So check them out, ltrtransportation.com. And like I said, tell them Redneck and I's interested. We appreciate all their support. So what happened here? It says here, where did I see that at? There was something to do with the gown. I got it printed out here. What is that called? Is that CDL Insider? I don't know. Let me go Google it and see what happens. But something happened on SNL. They're talking about trucking songs. And I just thought it was interesting. Let's see. No, it's not it. Let's see. There it is. They had a little skit. Looks like they're making fun of things on trucking. And it's Jake Gyllenhaal. You guys don't know him. So if you watch anything like the MCU movies, he was Mysterio in the second Spider-Man movie. I thought maybe they had a video. Yeah, they're on YouTube, looks like. Let's see if I can catch you down here. They're just talking. They don't have anybody on there. Let's see what he says here. Now they're just doing things. It says Jake Gyllenhaal hosted Saturday Night Live, and it was a fun night. Musical sketches for the actor. One of them happened to be the Truck Stop CD, which took us back to the CD compilation commercials from the 90s that you'd wake up watching in the middle of the night. Would be and you know what I'm talking about. It says Horse with No Name by America, and then you switch to Me and Bobby McGee by Janis Joplin. It goes, this time it featured two gas station customers, Kyle Mooney and Ego, I don't know how you say that. It says, making fun of the fact that the truck stops still had CDs for sale. Who even still has a CD player and listen to CDs in their cars? The answer, truckers. It says, appears to push them a compilation of CD from a trucker who sings songs about being on the road. It says, while one song implicates him as helping El Chapo escape, the tunes are honestly very very catchy. And Saturday Night Live clearly knew that when they had the cast singing Ghost Trucker by the end of the sketch. See, I'm going to try to pull this on YouTube, see if I can get it on here and see if we can and see what they were doing things on here. Looks like they're making fun of truckers, maybe. I'll tell you what. We already don't watch their stuff, and you're going to get us to not watch them anymore? Oh, man. Oh, yeah, here we go. All right, so I got some audio. I'll do the audio here so everybody can see it. I'm going to try to get the video.
We're the bad guys. It's showtime.
Shy.
Quit paying ads. I hate ads, I tell you. Here we go.
Truck stops have the wildest stuff.
Yeah, like my other car is a gun.
And who are the weirdos still buying CDs?
Well, truckers, that's who.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, this one right here is a collection of hits by my favorite truck driving crooner, Johnny Goblin. Yeah, I'm talking about Truck You, You Truckin' Truck. 42 songs all about trucking.
Great. You mind if we just scoop past you?
Songs include fender bending hits like Trucker's Life.
I'm peeing in a bottle, and I'm peeing in a thermos, and I'm peeing in a cup, and I'm peeing in a bucket, and I'm peeing in a diaper, and I'm peeing in the window. The wind blows back in my face.
They're definitely sticking it to the trucker convoys going on here lately.
Get your hanky handy for this heart-wrenching duet between trucker and trucker's wife, featuring Darlene Cuisine. Don't go forgetting.
Gotta go back out on the road. I'm gonna miss you till I get home.
And I'm asking you to remember. You always gotta remember.
Don't go forgetting which cup is your drink and which cup is full of piss.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Are all these songs about pain?
Well, not all, but many of them, yes. Big part of the lifestyle.
Okay, what was that?
Ooh, why, that would be the dreaded Ghost Trucker featuring Little Picky Dickens.
Ghost Trucker! Ghost Trucker! No one can beat him on the road, Ghost Trucker! When the fog came rolling in, and his hog came rolling out, reaching down his pants, he starts to touch himself. With the same hand he used to eat flaming hot Cheetos, he
would say his clean still echo right
to this day. Ghost Trucker!
And the old children.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't even want to dignify that with a continuation of watching it. I don't know. I may watch it because it's, you know, it's tough. But I tell you what, that's what Hollywood and all of their employees over there, that's what they think about you. And people that laugh at it, you know, maybe they had to generate some laugh tracks to get people to laugh at that stuff. But, you know, truck drivers don't even watch their stuff anymore, and then now they're saying, how can we get more people to watch? Hey, how about we make fun of truck drivers? That'll be good. Yeah, okay, good luck with that. So yeah, I thought it was interesting they talk about trucking songs, but it was not. It was them trying to make fun of it, and some other website thought it'd be kind of funny. I don't know. See if I can go on here and... And so I reined up on the person that wrote the article, and maybe there's some people that commented on it, and nobody's commented on it so far. And the article got posted when? Well, I mean, this was Saturday Night Live, so it had to be posted like today, what, 7 hours ago? So we might, I'm going to probably share this article on our Facebook page. And then we'll see if we can get some people to start commenting. Go comment on the article is what I'd like to see. I'd like to see these people know what we're thinking about. That's what I think. And I'm going to type it up here real quick. Where are we at? There we go. Oops. Yep, here is what Hollywood and... the TV producers think about and of course what we say over here is I mean, you know, we all talk about it here on Redneck and Ice. What we talk about is we talk about truckers, we have to do better. If you want to get paid more, if you're going to get treated better, more respected, then you got to act better. And we go in there and we watch them make fun of the, you know, those bad things that trucking has a bad stereotype of. And I told you, I don't like it, but you know what I know is I know I see it, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where when you see people acting up and you say, hey, you know, that's not 100%. That might be maybe 0.5% of the trucking community acts that way, but we see it, but that's what they remember and that's what they focus on. And so that's what we have to cut out. We have to cut it out. So when I go into a truck stop and I see a trucker either acting that way, you know, I try to say something. You need to, you know, I don't want the guy to get pissed and pull out a rifle and start shooting, you know, shooting at the truck or whatever, but I kind of have to say something, you know, you kind of have to these days. You're going to have to start saying more. And then, or you see something, maybe you see something on the, in the parking lot that, you know, can be picked up and all that, it sucks. You see it. And I just, I got gloves in the truck. I got extra trash bags in the truck, Walmart bags, whatever. And I try to help it. Maybe I'll go to the truck stop guy, the people that work at the truck stop, and say, hey, there's some stuff out there. I don't know if you got anybody who can go clean it up right away, but I'd appreciate it if you did, that kind of thing. Because I don't want nobody stepping on whatever they got to step on or kicking something or running something over or whatever. We try not to do that. So I don't know what y'all think about that, but that's kind of what I think about on that kind of stuff. But I think I got – is this Jeff? What's going on?
Well, when you were talking about these comedy tapes from Saturday Night Live, I guess – yeah, they poke fun at us. They poke fun at everybody, and that's just what they do. But I wonder, do you remember as a kid going into these old truck stops? And one of the things that it seemed like every old truck stop in the country was selling these truck stop comedy tapes. You remember seeing those?
The guy who
did it was Gene Tracy.
I don't know. I can't think of the guy's names because mine was like a variety. It wasn't like one guy.
Yeah. But it was like Gene Tracy would have truck stop comedy tape number one, truck stop comedy tape number two. I mean, just he had a plethora of them. And
yeah.
It seemed like every truck stop across the country sold these things.
Yep.
And they were just pure, unadulterated, raunchy crap.
Yeah,
but it was, and it was just that. So I kind of wonder if some of this idealism, if that's a word, maybe I didn't say it right, but people's vision of CDs and truck stops goes back to that day. Now you go into truck stops and you don't find any of that. That's all gone, and then you find different truckers that are trying, that used to be truckers, that are now making music, that have got a CD out, and their truck stops are selling those. But it's a lot better image for us than what it was back in the day. And I ain't that old of a truck driver. That one caller, that old guy that calls in once in a while by the name of Greg, he might be able to know more about it. But but I'm just saying, I just remember that crap that they used to sell, and that was always linked to trucks.
Well, that's kind of like how when Jeff Foxworthy came about, he was celebrating the fact that, if you came from the country or came from the South, this is how you acted, and those things. It's like he came up with one of the funniest things I remember was it was sophisticated people had stock portfolios. Well, rednecks, we play the lottery. That's our financial future is playing the lottery. And it was one of those things where, yeah, it was stupid, but it was kind of true. And that's what I was getting down to about them talking about, in that skit there, they're talking about peeing in a bottle the other one, I don't know if you saw it, but it was kind of like, drivers being lonely and spending time by themselves and all that. And to me, it's like, well, they wouldn't be talking about it if there wasn't some truth to it. And I understand that, it's just, that's what we see is we see that there is some truth to it, and it's one of the things they choose. It's kind of like how we choose, there's probably a lot of good actors out there that are good, wholesome people that don't talk bad about anybody. But all we think of is when we think of an actor, we think of somebody that just sticks their nose up at everybody else is what we see. So yeah, I can understand that. That's kind of what I was getting. Go ahead.
You're right. I really think, too, you're right. You could have old school truck drivers, and I tell you, you go to these truck stops, and it's kind of like my respect to military people. But you see the old school truck driver, the black cowboy boots, jeans, button-down shirt, no T-shirts, button-down shirts, and a lot of times a cowboy hat, but that's old school trucking, and I got a lot of respect for those guys. I really do. But drivers and general public, they maybe see old school drivers, you know, they're getting to be a rare breed. But what they remember is that driver that cut them off on the interstate, or the ones that are tailgating too close behind you, or you know, all that crap that goes on the highways. You could have 80% of the country as truck drivers doing the right thing, but it's that 20% that are horses' butts,
yeah,
making
yeah.
us all look bad. And that's where the stereotypes come in, I believe. And I think that's what, you know, Saturday Night Live is doing. They're concentrating and you know, making fun, because I tell you, it's pretty sick. You're right. When you go to truck stops, you see pee bottles. You know, I guess one of the biggest reasons why Walmart's, speaking of your, Walmart earlier in the show, that's why most Walmarts now don't want truckers parking overnight in their lots, is because some of them can't walk to the garbage can. They can't use the restroom. They got to leave all this, you know, and Walmart, they tell me that Walmart, if you leave a pee bottle in a Walmart parking lot, they make their employees put on hazmat gear to go pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, which costs them extra money. So it's just this, the horse's butts that give us all a bad name. And I think, you know, at Redneck and I, as you're trying to change the image to the general public of what it's really supposed to be about. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, and then to the point earlier that we were talking about it, you're talking about Walmart raising their pay and everything. I mean, you would agree that the drivers that are doing that, Walmart's not going to hire them, you know? So
no.
You're talking about these drivers that are doing that bad stuff that we all hate. You know, hopefully we can weed them out the best we can, but that's the reason that it is that, you know, if you're not going to act right, then these companies, they're not going to pay you $100,000 a year if you can't act right, you know. And that's one of the things that we see out there, is we see just they're just under the radar. They haven't been caught yet or whatever, you know, and everything. And that's why there's video cameras all over the trucks now, is because they can't trust you. You know, if we can't park in a parking lot, and like this carrier gets kicked out of a shipper because they said, well, one of your drivers did something. They're like, I didn't do that. Well, next thing you know, that carrier is going to have to put cameras on his trucks. That way he knows whether or not his driver is guilty of something or not, because when they get accused of something, you know, it's because people do that. People accuse people of doing stuff they didn't do. Well, in order to cover your butt, you're going to have cameras. You know, that's why we have owner-operators have cameras. It's not because, you know, they're trying to record stuff to put on YouTube. It's because they're covering their ass.
Yeah, that's why I got them. But I stayed at a truck parking lot up in Stewartsville, Minnesota last night, just south of Rochester, and it had a list of rules on a big sign in front of where we all parked. And it said, you know, do not throw trash on parking lot. If this happens, we will be forced to close this lot. You know, and so I just find it ironic how sometimes these truck drivers are complaining, well, there's no place to park, no place to park, no place to park. And it seems like the ones that are yelling about that the loudest are the biggest offenders of why there's no place to park.
Yeah.
I mean, there used to be more places to park, but they're tired of our, you know, the shit that some of these guys make.
And I really wish, I mean, I know it sucks that you might get yelled at a lot for it. I don't know why. If, you know, like when I see somebody on any kind of like big news broadcast actually speak the truth when it comes to how drivers act and the reason why, like one guy was on, Joe Biden did a thing at the White House. The next morning on Fox News, they brought a guy on in Cincinnati that was a, you know, representative of their association, whatever. And he said, that what Biden is doing is wrong, that we're still having problems with trucking and all that. But he mentioned the hours of service, and he mentioned parking was a big issue. But he didn't really, you know, of course, they only, you know, a lot of times those little interviews only, they only fit you in between the commercials. But, I mean, he should have said, you know, really quick, all you got to do is real quick, boom, drivers, we got to do better. If we want to park, yeah. if we want places to park, we got to do better. And it's one of those things where, you know, the redneck and I, we're all about doing things better for ourselves. And if you, like, that's what's going to have to happen, is you're going to have to start seeing organizations that are more trucker-oriented buy property and make parking lots our damn, you know, it's kind of like we're just going to have to do it our damn self. We're going to have to create our own parking lots. And that means buy property, you know, and it might cost money, but hey, you know, just like if TA wants to charge for parking, you know what I'll do? I'll buy a bunch of property. I'll pave it and put up parking, and I'll charge everybody but truck drivers. If somebody wants to come in like TA and build next to me, no, you're not going to get any of my stuff.
Well, and that's getting to be big business in itself, because there are places across the country now, privateers, I'm going to say, you know, yep. are buying up huge blocks of land. They're putting fences around them, which is good. Keeps us safe at night, but they're charging $10-$15 a spot. Well, I tell you what, you know, TA, as they told me the other day, Ontario, California, has got them two TAs, and they hold about 600 places, and I guess 400 or 500 places per lot. They're charging $35 a night to park at. Man, yep. Do the math, and every night they're full. So yep. It wouldn't take all long. Wouldn't take too long to pay off, you know, the property on one of those if you're charging that kind of money.
And then you think about it, that you think maybe they're making a lot of money. I bet you that 70% of that money they generate from parking, 70% of it goes into security so that they can maintain that people keep going and parking. It's kind of like a no-win thing. They're not really making money. It's just that that one new
lot they got, it's a chain link, and I mean, it's secure. You pay your money, the gate comes open, you know, and you go inside, and the gate goes back shut. There's nobody on there, but once you're inside, I mean, they've got shower facilities and bathroom facilities, and I mean, they've really gone out to make a nice experience. You know, I don't like paying for parking, but some of these areas like Seattle and California, and you know, we're tight, parking is so tight, sometimes it's just a necessity. And I would rather pay a private guy than I would TA. It used to piss me off when TA really first started the program. You cannot use your loyalty points to buy a parking lot. Oh, no, that's separate. Now you can, I guess. But it made me mad that I'd spent $1,000 with fuel and I couldn't go over there and park for free. Wow.
Well, I mean, that's what I've always thought it was, as long as you got – I mean, a lot of the rules back in the day when I was over the road, it was as long as you got at least 50 or 100 gallons of fuel, then you were good to go. You could park, you get one night for, you know, but a lot of times that was always a situation where it wouldn't work out, because if you were stuck for a couple of days, you know. I remember one time I was actually in Ontario that one time, and I knew that I was going to be there for at least 2 days. So I think the rule was you had to buy 75 gallons. So I bought 75 gallons one day and 75 gallons the next day. It's like, you know, it's like I had to make sure I could, because if I filled up that one day, it only got me one day of free parking, you know? So it was like, no, I couldn't do that. But we parking, like you're saying, if it was more of a private thing, but like, you know, but if you're at a truck stop, like even Love's has said, they're not charging for parking. That's because you know what you're going to do is you're going to get fuel. You might have to either buy a shower or you get a free shower or whatever, but you're going to spend money in the restaurant. You're going to shop, you know, and a lot of times say, well, that's not going to make up the difference. It makes up the difference. It, so many. If you got a truck stop in the right area, there's so much traffic going in and out of there that just because a driver comes in and gets fuel and parks for the night and maybe goes in and spends $6 worth of, you know, stuff, all the people that came in there and didn't park made up for the cost of that parking. That's right. You can't tell me that didn't happen. You know, that's my opinion. I don't have any numbers to verify it, but that don't make any sense to me. When you got 30 people that came in there and bought something, at least $8 worth of stuff, 30 people came in and did that, and you're telling me that you didn't make enough money to pay for the parking lot? That's silly.
I totally agree. You know, I really think some of these guys, I'm kind of that way, Love's is my choice for fuel. So I kind of have pride since that's my place to get my fuel. That's my place to shower. That's my parking spot. You know, I kind of think of it as mine. Kind of like
right.
My home. I want my home to be nice, but my home in the road is that Love's parking lot. So I want it to be nice as well. And I think there's a lot of guys feel that way, you know, that as long as Love's are providing me a clean shower, clean parking lot, I want to take care of it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but there's a loyalty there, I do believe.
Yeah, and I think as truck drivers, we probably should be doing that. We need to be more loyal to a lot of these companies that take care of us. You know, that's
yes,
of course.
I agree.
That's I think we should express loyalty. You know, I mean when you get sponsorships to events, when these companies do these things for these drivers to create something, you know, like you're talking about truckers making music. Well, when the trucker makes music and he has some company that actually sponsors his ability to make a CD, you know, hey, that's good. I want to support that company that sponsors him to do that, you know, or however I
right.
can help out, you know, I will to my best ability. So I think we need that. We need more loyalty like that. I do that with restaurants around here. You know, when you go to a good restaurant, you want to go back. It's loyalty.
That's right.
That's what it is. You know, when they treat you good, when you go to a bartender or a waitress, they treat you good. Loyalty. Go back. Go see them again. That's loyalty. So I think we need to do more of that as truckers because I think that'll help. I think it helps the industry when we stick to, you know, who takes care of us. And I think so too.
Because,
yeah. No, go ahead.
No, I think you hit on something there because, you know, I mean, a lot of guys think that everything that we do on the road, everybody's they're trying to stab us. They're trying to charge us more. They're making a living on our backs. But say, maybe we need to stop and think of the ones that are trying to help out the trucking industry and actually thank them.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
Love
thanks like us
for walking in the door.
Yep. Yep, I totally agree. There was one guy back in the day when I was first started going to truck shows, and actually I was hanging out with Tony Justice. We had been friends on Facebook for a long time and never actually seen each other, and he was there, and he's like, hey, I know you. Hey, I know you too. And we were talking about APUs. And another guy sat down, and he was with one of those trucker ministry groups, and he said that about one of the APU companies was doing a sale where they were offering to do financing, like they were doing their own financing instead of you having to go. If you couldn't afford the APU, you need to go get a loan somewhere or pay with a credit card. Well, they said, well, hey, we know a lot of drivers can't afford the $10,000 APU, so we've created our own finance company to help drivers make payments on these, you know, on these APUs. And so we were talking about that, and he said that. He said very rarely does the industry do things for itself. You know, truck drivers help out. They help. They donate to charities. They help out hospitals and sick kids and the homeless. And, you know, they want to take care of all these other people, but they never actually do anything to take care of themselves. And to me, the supporting other companies like that through loyalty, I think that helps yourself.
Good point.
So, yeah. But other than that, man, like I said, I was kind of – everybody in trucking was talking about Walmart. I thought that was – like CNBC, CNN, New York Times, everybody. Got to go back here. But, yeah, it's – didn't see anything else really other than a couple of events. I don't really like talking about – specific events that happen out on the road because it's so common. Every other day there's an accident to report. So I didn't know what else was going on here and everything. And looks like we got about, 30 minutes? Yeah, we got about 30 minutes. You know what we're going to do? We're going to step away and take a little break. We'll come back and we'll talk about this. There was a company in Utah that says it closed its doors after 37 years, and we'll see what that's all about here. And let's see here. Can I do it? Oh, there we go. Like Robbie says, when Greg talks too much, cue the music. So here we go. We're going to be this is Redneck and I's Radio. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back here in just a second. And like I said, be sure to thank one of our great sponsors. That's Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app. So be sure to go download their app from the App Store and let them know what you think about it. You can track freight, book freight. You can find Walmarts and parking and all that kind of good stuff. And like I said, if you see anything needs to be changed or added or anything, you let them know because they're always trying to make updates to that. So check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody listening along. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio. Sometimes it seems like I'm going nowhere. Like the breath of the wind, I keep moving on and I can't seem to stay in one place.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Midnight headlights blinding on the rainy night, street grade up ahead, slow me down, making no time. But I gotta keep rolling.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731, 515-602-9731. And if you're part of the conversation, just hit 1. We're just rocking right along here, talking about life on the road, just trucking news in general. And be sure to go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We link to all of our great sponsors and our social media accounts over there. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Want to give a great shout-out to one of our great supporters, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. They're the ones that if you got any kind of particulate filter issues, whether you need it cleaned or you need to buy a new one or you got some kind of problems that you need answers to, well, they're the ones that can help you out. That's dpfregeneration.com. When you let them know over there what you got, and be sure to make sure you appreciate them for supporting Redneck and I, because we really do appreciate their support and everything. So we're just trucking right along here talking. I had Greg on a little bit, and we were going to talk about some things going on out there. And I had this interesting article that I saw on here, and it's talking about Utah Trucking Company shuts down after 37 years. And it's it says here, Logan, Utah-based trucking company, L.W. Miller, notified customers and drivers earlier this week that it would shut down its livestock hauling division on Monday. It says its other four divisions will continue to operate according to the letter sent out to customers to obtain freightways, obtained by freightways. It says the CEO of L.W. Miller called the driver shortage, rising costs, extremely tight margins, and freight rates the perfect storm that forced the company to shutter one of the largest livestock hauling operations in the U.S. after 37 years in business. The business of transporting animals is no longer sustainable for the L.W. Miller organization, Miller wrote. Says human resources manager at L.W. Miller declined a request to comment on the livestock haulers, including company drivers and owner-operators, would be affected by the decision. I don't know, L. Miller, L.W., I've never heard of him. Have you there, Jeff?
I've seen him, yeah. I think they do more than – they do a lot of pigs. I hauled a trailer out to them the other day, so that's – kind of surprising to hear them go out of business.
Well, I mean, it says they're still operating their divisions. According to their website, the picture that you see on their website is they've got a reefer unit hooked up to a Cascadia. So it looks like it's a regular trucking company that probably hauls livestock as well. And they're not going to haul the livestock anymore, but they're still going to do all of their other stuff. At truckload services, dry bulk, liquid tanker, refrigerated, petroleum, and then they've got livestock at the bottom. They haven't changed
that
the website.
That makes sense.
Yep. Yep, they haven't
that
changed the
sense.
Website. Well, it's still got the livestock hooked up to it, but they're out of Utah, which means that they probably do a lot of that West Coast stuff. They might even haul those West Coast doubles, or Rocky Mountain doubles, they call them. They might do that a lot.
Yeah.
You never know. But,
No, I don't know. It's rough. You know, you take the cattle business, you know, and the hog business. The price of hogs are down low, and a lot of these great big huge hog refineries now. I call them hog refineries when they crank out, you know, 30,000 hogs at a time. They got their own trucks that haul their own stuff. So. You know, these livestock haulers, they gotta rely on local farmer stuff, and yeah, it'd be a tough market to be in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they looks like they don't do any dry van. It's the refrigerated is the only door swinging they do. They do the tankers and they do the dry bulk, the pneumatic, you know, that stuff. And then they've got the petroleum
yep.
tank, but like refrigerated is pretty much the easiest thing they do. And even that, you know, you got to have some type of training on how to handle that stuff because those reefers, sometimes they can be hard to handle, especially if you're trying to do the, what do they call them, the bulkheads, where you got to have different temperatures. That's complicated.
Right. Well, I got a story on that. I don't know if you want to hear it or not, but I leased on to Prime one time.
Uh-oh.
And... The training that Prime gave me to lease on to them said that every time I would go to a shipper, I had to dock test the material. So say if I was going to be hauling hams, then the hams had to be a certain temperature before they went in the truck. Prime didn't want to cover the cost of putting hot meat in a cold trailer if it was already spoiling before you put it in, that type
gotcha.
Of thing. Or you're hauling ice cream, the ice cream had to be a certain temperature. Well, they gave us these stick thermometers to use, you know, the one, the meat thermometer, like you said, point in the one end. And they didn't tell me, that's all they said, is to use this, calibrate it with ice and water and set it for 32 to make sure it's 32 degrees, calibrate it, use this. So I was at Farmland Foods, my first haul, backed up dock, and I was going to haul hams. Well, I was doing what I was told. I stuck my thermometer into a ham through a plastic. You know, these hams were in a box, and then I stuck it in the plastic. And, oh, my God, the dock manager came screaming at me. What did you just do? Mama, did you sanitize that before you stuck that in the ham? And I thought, oh, boy, I better lie through my teeth here. I said, yep, sure did. Oh, well, don't you ever do that again. So, yeah, when it comes to reefer, there's a lot of things that people don't realize what has to be done and the temperatures it's got to be run. And like I said, I've never been a reefer guy. I can't stand hauling ice cream in the summertime where you got to maintain, you know, 32 below zero so that ice cream stays hard, you know, and then your reefer screaming in the background. Yeah. So my hat's off the reefer drivers.
Yeah.
Anchors, another thing. I mean, I say these guys that do what they do and they're specialized freight, man, my hat's off to them.
Yeah, reefer, man, I tell you what, running that refrigerated freight like that, you know, they just think it's easy, you know, and it's like, well, it's just a van, you know, and all that and everything. And of course, like you're saying, even if it is just easy to where the whole trailer is at one temperature, and then as long as it keeps at one temperature, a lot of things can go wrong on the reefer unit and all that. My story is that I was hauling for Costco, and this was back when Costco was not in the Texas area. What they were in Phoenix, and they wanted to open up Costco's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So they had Costco's there, and they said, okay, well, all of our freight comes from Phoenix, and we're going to ship it out there to get it to Costco and grow and eventually build a Costco in Dallas. And they did. They eventually did that. But this was before that. And I was running team for Swift. And they said, we're going to haul the refrigerated trailers and we're going to haul them straight from, and you got to go from Phoenix. And this is July. And you got to run from Phoenix to Dallas with a refrigerated unit. And it has to maintain a certain temperature and all that. And I mean, it was tough. Because guess what? It's 120 degrees going out there in the middle of nowhere in West Texas.
Oh, exactly.
And New Mexico. And you got to have that sucker cranked. And that reefer unit ran a long time. And what Swift did is they said, or, you know, even Swift says, don't run the reefer that hard. Like it needs to shut off so that it can rest. You know, it can't, like the mechanics that were working on the reefers were like, well, they need to be able to shut off so that they don't run that hard all the time. I said, dude, it's like a generator. It needs to be able to run. I said, I'm out there in 120 degrees sometimes going down the highway with the sun beaming down on the top of this trailer. You're not going to tell me that sucker can't run because it's going to have to run. And I think Swift, they lost a lot of money because they bid it low like these big carriers do to get the freight. And of course, yeah. they were already running Costco freight in the Phoenix area. So, you know, they didn't like it. It didn't run that long and everything. And then the funny thing is that they were using a lot of trainee teams because it wasn't like a hard run where it was going to sustain a full team to run dedicated back and forth. So what they did was is they had trainer teams doing it. So the trainer, I was backed up to a door getting unloaded, and I go out there, and the other trainer that just pulled in waiting on me to get out, he had already like pulled up, staged his truck to be able to back in, and he had the doors open and everything. And I walked up and said, how long you been sitting there? Oh, I've been here about 45 minutes waiting on you. I said, you had the doors open the whole time? He goes, yeah. I said, it's a refrigerated unit. He's like, oh, yeah, didn't think about that.
Gee whiz.
So he had the refrigerator unit running the whole time with the doors open, sitting out there in the middle of nowhere, or, you know, in the middle of the parking lot. And, you know, and this is Dallas. And so, you know, yeah, like you're saying, you know, it's like it's a whole nother world, a whole nother ball game that people just don't think about. And
no.
And we were just talking about drivers need to do better. And it's like, man, oh, man, you got to do better than that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I wish I kind of wish there was a way that general public really knew more about the different types, you know, they see these, you know, different types of trucks on the road, and they probably don't, maybe they just don't care what anything about them. But, man, every type of trailer and type of load, it takes really some specialized training on how to do it.
Well, I think with my friends and family, the people that aren't in trucking, and they always ask questions and all that like that, I tell them all the time, when you go down the highway, just understand that when you see a trailer that looks completely different than the other trailer, the drivers pulling those trailers, they are in totally different worlds. They never, ever see the same shippers. They never, ever see, you know, the same locations. They're always doing something different. The driver that's pulling that van, he probably don't even know what he probably couldn't even tell you the parts on that pneumatic trailer or the tanker or, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
And then even regular people, they look at a trailer and they don't see the refrigerated unit. And they think that one van is different from or the same as another van. They say that one's enclosed. It's a van. I said, yeah, but it's different. And they're like, why is it different? I said, well, there's a refrigerated unit on there. They go, oh, I didn't see that, you know, and all that. So, you know, and then like containers and all that stuff, it's all different. Well, I think you're right. I think a lot of people, if they'd understood that more, they'd kind of be more sympathetic.
Here's what's amazing to me, and nobody's able to really explain this to me, but I got a buddy of mine that hauls food, edible products in a tanker, right? He'll load up milk out of Wisconsin. And it goes in the tanker, basically ice-cold milk, into this tanker. He'll haul that milk all the way to California in that tanker. Now, there's no refrigeration unit on a tanker. So how can that stay cold enough to get all the way to California and a reefer has got to run so screaming loud all the time to maintain temperature? You know, that's something I'm doing. And I asked him on that. He says, when they seal my milk up, he goes, it works just like a thermos bottle. And it maintains temperature because of the vacuum inside and the insulated trailer.
Yeah, I don't understand that. So you're saying he gets ice cold milk?
Yep. He'll haul ice cold milk across the United States.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I believe that or not. I always thought that the milk doesn't get refrigerated until it gets bottled. Like once they pasteurize it, they can just keep it. It'll keep, and it doesn't need to be kept cold.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding it, but he does haul things, you know, different temperatures. That he says when it goes in there, it'll maintain like a thermos bottle, or just like a thermos bottle when you haul it. And I find that to me as a truck driver, I find that fascinating.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he puts it in there cold and it stays cold, that's a miracle. I don't understand. I don't know if I'd agree with that. But I would be under the assumption that it's not cold, or it's not like refrigerated cold when he gets it in the tanker. I don't, you know, maybe, because that's what I thought. I don't like I said, I've never heard.
I don't know
never,
because I know he picks it up from I know he picks up some loads from like California, for example, and I understand it being processed milk because it goes straight from there to Blue Bunny in Lamar, Iowa. They dump it in their tanks and make ice cream out of it. Now,
yeah.
I'm not a milkman. I don't know. But still, you're hauling milk, what, from California to Iowa? That's
yes.
Hot or cold. How's that stay fresh enough to use going down the road? You know,
well,
there's things like that that's just fascinating to me as a truck driver.
Well, when you're thinking about fresh food altogether, and everybody's going to the supermarket to get fresh food, just think about how much time that it took, or how quick they had to be once they picked it or processed it or grew it or whatever, and they packaged it up, and then they put it in the truck, and they got it to where it had to go. And I guess regular people need to understand that, you know, a lot of hands touch that fresh food before it gets to the supermarket, you know?
And life is better than it used to be. I heard stories from the old-time truck drivers when they used to haul swinging meat. You know, swinging meat was a whole different way to haul things than a tanker. And tankers drive differently than you and I do. You know, they can't do things that a dry van can do when they drive.
Yep.
You know, 'cause they got to worry about that slosh, that second hit, all that other stuff. Well, swinging meat, all that meat was hung up high. And I just couldn't imagine.
I thought they still did that. I thought there were some places that still did, that still dealt with swinging meat, where they, like you're saying, I think the trailers are even equipped with where the swinging meat is hanging from the ceiling of the truck, and once they get to where it's going, it connects with the track that's already in the market there in the warehouse, and they don't even unhook it from one hook to put it on another. It just gets tracked right on into the warehouse. That's what I thought. I don't know.
To my knowledge, swinging beef is no longer. Everything's done in everything's boxed meat.
Everything's boxed up now. Well, you know.
Everything's boxed meat.
I can see that. I can see it now. I can see them. I can even see them keeping the meat as is and just putting it in a huge box.
Well, yeah. I mean, everything's done when meat shipped cross country. It's all cut up and boxed, and you get like pork loins, you get briskets, you get everything's pre-done, crail-vacked. It goes to the store, and then they cut it into steaks and whatever. But so you take you take a cow and you quarter it maybe eight different ways, and you box it and you ship it. No longer do they do swinging meat.
Yep, good deal. Well, I think this is Robbie here coming on to us. Is that you, Robbie?
Yeah. You were talking about a lot of the guys that run the specialty trailers. I run a specialty trailer, and it's when I was running my flatbed, I bet you I was at the same shipper maybe twice, but most of the time it's a different shipper every time. It's not the same thing like going to a Walmart DC. And from, you know, like pulling a reefer, it's you're picking up that box meat, and you're going to Walmart, and that's all you do. You know, I've never ran into the same shipper. It's always been somebody new, and that's one thing I like about open deck. Yeah, it's a lot of work. When I have my flatbed, yeah, I have to throw tarps. It's part of the job. I chose it, but the one thing I like about open deck freight. It's something new every time.
Yep. I think that's one of the things.
It's very, very seldom I get the same piece of equipment. I might get the same piece of same type of equipment, same model, but it's going to be different.
Right.
Something's going to be different about it.
I mean, that's probably one of the drawbacks of being like in a regional area or pulling for the same customer. If you work for the same customer or the same carrier. Like you're pulling the same freight with that guy, so they've got customers that they rely on that they pull this. It's the same. You go to the same shipper, same consignee, back and forth, same city, same state. That's their bread and butter, and you're always going to do that. And if you want something different, you're going to have to be with the same carrier and have something different. Then you're going to have to go somewhere else. You know, like that's what I did when I was working for, you know, let's say Schneider or Landstar. If you're like, you know what, I'm not really interested in pulling, you know, I'm kind of tired of this same old. So you took the load going somewhere else. I ended up in Oregon or Idaho somewhere. And next thing you know, I've got a swinging door van out in the middle of nowhere next to a lake. And they're blowing sawdust into the trailer. And it's like a box van full of sawdust. And I take it to a place. And you know what they make? They make those pellets. For the grills. It's a little facility where all they do is they just got a machine where they take that sawdust and compress it in those pellets. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
I watched them load potatoes 2 weeks ago that way, Frito-Lay. Conveyor belt goes in and loads these trailers up with that. But no, I tell you, what Robbie does, my hat's off to him because every time he gets a piece of equipment on there, he's got to know the right places, where to chain, and how to secure that to satisfy the customer. And I'll bet sometimes that gets really hairy sometimes when and the customer don't want nothing scratched, it's got to be secured.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, just a little bit ago, I got this, it's called a curbing machine. It makes all the curbs, and I'm taking it back to Phoenix. We had a little meeting, and in between that and now, I had to readjust the tracks on it because they start walking, going funky. I had to get up there, try to figure out how to run this machine to get the tracks to get straight again because they were starting to. I just didn't like how they were kind of walking a little bit. But you know, it's there's some of these machines that I gotta try to figure out how to run them so I can move them going across country or wherever they need to be.
I think, because do you drive your own stuff on your own trailer?
I don't, no.
No, okay.
I make them run it because they know how to run it.
Right.
It's like this thing. I'm over there trying to flip switches. I looked on YouTube, looked on the internet how to try to get these tracks straight. Yeah. I finally figured it out. No, this thing has like 9 million switches to move it this way, that way, and radiuses, and this piece of machine I hope they know how to run it when I get it there, because I don't know how to run it.
Yeah.
Didn't figure out how to get it off my trailer.
Yeah, I wouldn't want them to drive it on, because that way I can watch them and make sure they put it where I want it. You know, it's kind of like, it's one of those things.
Exactly. When,
yeah.
I got a little boy. I just got it back in January, and every place I've been to, they've been real nice about me hooking my neck back up. Let me figure out where my weights are, because I got gauges on my drives. I got gauges on my tandem on the trailer, and to see if I need to move it either way. And most of the time,
cool.
I've been pretty lucky to put it wherever they stop. It's good, so.
That's awesome. You know, I had some photos. I took some photos, and I don't know what I did with them back then. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but now that I know more about trucking, it is. When I was in the service, I was in Edwards Air Force Base, and we had one of those tugs, and it was, I forgot how they rated them, but it was a C5 tug. So the big C5, big, transports, right? That's the biggest plane the Air Force has. They got to have a tug to be able to pull it or push it where they want it on the flight line. Well, this sucker, it weighed 70,000 pounds. The tug did.
Wow.
The tug weighed 70,000 pounds. Well, it needed to get worked on. The engine wasn't working right. And they had to take it to, like, the Caterpillar or Cummins, whatever it was an engine dealer that they had to send it to get worked on. And this, it was the stupidest thing, because it's like, you know what, they should have just paid the money to pay the mechanic to come work on it there, because they had mechanics, they were just military mechanics, and they, I don't know, for some reason they said, no, we got to have this guy do it, and we're going to pay a contractor to do it. This was back when, you know, Bill Clinton was running things, and they didn't want to pay a military guy $20 to do it. They'd rather pay a contractor $1,000 to do it. You know, it's like when the guy's in the military and he gets paid, you know, $6 an hour compared to the contractor that gets paid $100 an hour. They were paying contractors all the time instead of just train the military guy how to do it. No, they didn't do that. Well, they told us to load it up on a flatbed. And so we had it wasn't an RGN, but it was a drop deck that we put it on. And we never should have done that. Now that I've learned all what I learned, we were totally out of regulations. Like I said, a 70,000 pound, like a vehicle that weighed 70,000 pounds on this triple axle. It was a three axle drop deck, but still, I don't think that trailer. I mean, they said the trailer was rated at a certain weight or whatever. But man, I think we used.
It was right at limits.
Yeah,
it was having a three axle. Yeah, majority of your flatbeds and your step decks are going to be, they're rated for right around 80,000. So yeah, they were right at limits.
Yeah, and we took it over.
How many axles they had underneath it?
And if you're familiar with Edwards Air Force Base, where it is, it's in the desert out there in like Kern County or L.A. County out before you get to Bakersfield. So we had to take it to Bakersfield. Now, if you're in over there in L.A. County where Lancaster and Edwards Air Force Base is, to get to Bakersfield is through the mountains. Like they're in but it's kind of like over these mountain
yeah,
passes.
It's across California 58.
Yeah, 58 right there, yeah. And that,
I can't remember the mountain pass on it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yep. And back then there was no cell phone cameras. You had to the only cameras I had a couple of throwaway cameras that I had that where you take the picture and then send it in, and they had to develop the film. And I think some of them didn't come out because, you know, you were just taking pictures. You didn't know what they looked like once you took them. You just hoped for the best. But we left at 4:30 in the morning to try to beat the traffic and all that. But we still, I mean, it was only maybe less than 100 miles, but we still rolled in there almost noon because I wasn't going to drive that sucker very fast. But again, you're talking about, like you're saying, specialty stuff. And they're like, well, you can drive that truck. I can drive it. I was like, I don't know if it's going to last when I get it there.
Well, if you want to really hear some stories, I bet you Greg would have some stories back when he was pulling an RGN.
Yeah.
More than that, we would have time for, because I know you're getting pretty close to the end of the show here.
Well, he's not even on
the
line.
That'd be another day.
Yeah. But good deal. Yeah, I agree with you. But that's cool stuff, yeah. But yeah, I think the regular public, I think they probably just need to take notice. You know, like you're saying, if you're out there and you're driving down the highway and you see a bunch of trucks, and just kind of take notice. You know, just because it's a van doesn't mean they might be a specialized van. Especially, you see a lot of them. I mean, a lot of different places. They, you know what they do still have there, Jeff, talking about swinging meat. They don't have swinging meat, but they got swinging clothes. They have ropes that hang from the ceilings of the van trailers that keep all their clothes on hangers. And sometimes you'll get a whole trailer full of nothing but clothes hanging from hangers from the rope.
I know Walmart ships that way. Yep. So does Target.
I helped a buddy of mine out, and he has a company that has he has two walk-in floor trailers. The top of it looks like a drive-in on the outside, but there's a tarp on top. And you roll the tarp back, and it's pretty much a bulk. I was hauling, I would haul cottonseed to one farm and this other powder to another dairy farm.
There you go.
And you just work the floor, and that's how you work the product out. But you would pull up, roll the tarp back, and they would dump it right in, just like doing potatoes. I've done potatoes, too, for Poor Brothers out of Bakersfield. Holy cow, those potatoes are like pumpkins. Those potatoes are huge. That they go to a potato chip factory. I don't know if Poor Brothers is still around, but I haven't been able to find them in the store or if they're even around anymore. But they were out in Buckeye, Arizona. But their chips were actually pretty good. I liked them, but it's hard to find them in the store now.
Yep, I mean there's a bunch of different stuff out there. Like I hauled watermelons out of South Texas, and when you go down the highway and you see a van trailer and it's got the door shut, but then there's this little bitty window, like little door that's open going down the highway. Well, they have to have that open to keep the watermelons or whatever kind of produce they got in there from getting all wet, because they're still emitting humidity from the produce. And if you keep everything locked up inside that trailer, it'll start raining inside that trailer because there's so much humidity, so much moisture inside there from the produce in there. So it may not have to be refrigerated, but it's got to keep air flowing through it. So that's another.
Or mold. I bet mold starts in on them.
Yep, that too. Yep, that kind of stuff. That's what they got to watch out for, especially when you got them in there all weighed down on each other. But yep, that's the kind of stuff. But yeah.
Even onions on a flatbed, you got to have your front open, but the top covered and the sides covered and the back open so air can get through it.
There you go.
Or you have a netted tarp. Yeah, I've hauled onions out of Idaho. That's a heavy load. Because they'll load you right to the wheels.
I used to be a produce manager, and strawberries would come molded off of a truck because of lack of circulation.
Hmm. That's a good stuff. A good stuff. But yeah, there's a running around along. I think
amazing.
Yeah, I think people just need to take notice that you know, there's a bunch of different stuff going on the highway. You never know what it is, and if you look at the trailer and see what the trailer's doing, sometimes you can figure out what they're hauling. You know, I mean, even those pneumatics, you know, the dry bulk, you know, there's a bunch of different stuff they can haul that you never know. It's like sometimes it's food, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's fertilizer. You never know. You know, tankers, same way. Sometimes it's food. Sometimes it's chemicals. Sometimes it's just water.
you know, a tarp load or a dry van or a reefer or a tanker, you never know what they got in there. You know, you're open deck freight, like what I, the stuff that I haul, you know what I got if I don't have a tarp, but, you know, it's, I don't get much sleep when I'm hauling this equipment around you because I'm so worried about someone messing with it throughout the night when I'm parked.
I wondered about that, your security, because, I mean, some of those RGNs, you see some pretty cool shit on the back of them. I parked behind some, you know, military stuff, and what keeps people from crawling up there and looking at that stuff at night?
I've done some military stuff, and they still have they got cameras in there, and they're always watching that stuff.
Good stuff.
But as a driver, you can't feel anybody jumping on the back of your trailer, can you, at night?
And depends if I have the truck running or not.
Right. Probably so. Okay.
There you go. Well, good stuff.
Which right now I got the truck running. I don't think my APU can keep up with 95 degree outside air right now.
No kidding.
Mm.
All right.
Hmm.
Well, another show
right
in the books.
Well, good night.
Good deal. All right now. Well, yeah, this is it. Appreciate everybody joining along, and you guys stay safe out there. Don't keep between the ditches is what my dad always tells me.
Yeah.
Shiny side up.
Shiny side up. There you go. Good deal.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. You too, bud.
Good night.
All right now. Yep. So appreciate everybody listening along. And don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. And appreciate all of the great sponsors that we got. You know, it's LTR Transportation, ltrtransportation.com. And Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app. That's download from the App Store. And then it's DPF Regeneration. You can check those guys out at dpfregeneration.com. We appreciate all their support. And then don't forget, we're always here live every Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern time. It's call-ins at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody calling in, listening along there. And don't forget, we're always trying to broadcast on either Facebook Live or YouTube Live, whatever we got going on that. And we appreciate everybody subscribing to our YouTube channel. That's one of the things that I appreciate everybody doing. We're trying to grow that channel up, and a lot of we've been reached out with a lot of other supporters talking about getting our YouTube channel growing. So we're excited about that, and we just want everybody to continue along and trying to make trucking a better industry and just create that brotherhood of camaraderie that we once had a while back, and we're trying to bring that back here. So be sure to keep along, keep tabs what's going on, redneckandeyes.com, and appreciate everybody's support. So until next time, we'll see you all. Keep between the ditches, and continue to be safe. And we appreciate everybody out there. Now we'll see you.
Right here with me, I can always count on you to save the day. You rode in the dark like a blinding deer, boy. You stole my heart down low.
You rode in the dark.